When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, I said to you, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is like somebody giving you jelly beans, but telling you they're really jelly bellies. You know those people. Those are not jelly bellies. Why do you call regular jelly beans jelly belly? Why do you call regular jelly beans jelly belly? That, my friends, is fiat currency. And today, that's what we're going to talk about on Law and Profits on the Cross Politic Network. Today, we're going to talk about fiat currency. Now, I know a lot of you guys are looking at my page, and you're like, wait a minute. I thought you were going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh. Well, I am going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh, but I have been really sick this week, and I wanted to give you guys something. So this is going to be like a quick mini episode, because I really want to spend time on that episode. And also, I think Monday, we're going to learn a lot more about what's going on, and so I'm hoping that that'll reveal some more information that'll be helpful for that discussion. But anyway, I want to put a lot of time and I want to put a lot of energy into that discussion. And so I thought it would be fun just to do a quick episode on cryptocurrency. And what would the Bible think about cryptocurrency? And so for those of you guys that don't know, cryptocurrency is supposedly a new form of currency that is balanced in terms of its just weight and measures digitally. And so I got really into this last year before Christmas when it was going crazy, and I actually made some money on it. I actually was able to make enough money to actually get an engagement ring and go on honeymoon. So I did okay. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people put a lot of money in and then it crashed from about 20,000. I think now it's probably about Bitcoin itself is probably about 6,000. I didn't really play Bitcoin that much. I played with other smaller coins and kind of diversified, and that's probably why I did really well even when it went down and stuff. But the question is cryptocurrency a just weight and measure, or is it a Ponzi scheme, like Gary North says, or is it just a big scam? And so I'm going to come out and say that I don't think that cryptocurrency as of yet is a valid form of money. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I think the main one is we can talk about the stability of it, if it's a stable and all that. And I think stability will come. I do think if you look at the price of Bitcoin this year, it has been, for the most part, pretty stable. So that happens with new markets. The price goes up like crazy, and then people realize what the actual value is, and it tends to stabilize over time. And so, but let's first, before we get into that, let's talk about what is blockchain technology that runs all these cryptocurrencies. What is that? So essentially what it is it's a system that's created as a means to keep ledgers digitally and securely. So for example, if you have $10 in your bank account and you spend $5 at one moment in time, and then you spend another $5 at another moment in time, your bank is the one that keeps that ledger. So that ledger says, at this moment in time, you spent $5 and we deducted $5. And at another moment in time, you spent $5. And the bank looks and makes sure that you don't spend that $5 at the exact same time, and that those charges can be verified to make sure that you have money in the account at that exact same moment. And currently, that's done through the banking system. So it's always done through a third party. So, for example, if I want to go to the grocery store and I want to give $50 to the grocer, I have to go through, let's say, MasterCard, who's going to keep that ledger on my debit card to make sure that I actually have the money. So I'm going through a third person and I'm paying this transaction fee that's ridiculously high, and like 3% or whatever of whatever I purchase, or at least the cashier or the owner of the store is paying that 3% transaction fee. And of course, as we know, that those prices are always calculated back into the product. So you are indeed paying that 3% somewhere down the line. So what cryptocurrency does, or the blockchain technology does, is it says, if I have $50 and I'm sending you $50, I can digitally keep that ledger in a way that is secure. So how that works with, let's say, Bitcoin, for example, is if I send someone $50 and they receive $50, a bunch of computers all over the world look at that transaction and they investigate it to be true. So they investigate whether or not that I had that money, that I had that cryptocurrency at that time. And it's done through computers over the internet, all over the world. And so the reward for the computers, when they figure out the math and they verify that it is true, is they get a percentage of that transaction fee. The person who is running that system gets a percentage of that transaction fee. And so that's essentially what blockchain does. It allows for digital transactions to be made individually from one person to another person pretty much instantly, or within a few minutes, rather than, as you know, if you were to buy your groceries, it would take 2 to 3 days in your bank account before you see that it actually is debited. Sometimes it's faster than that, but there is a verification process that takes place. It takes a long time. And anyway, so blockchain technology allows this to happen instantly, and it allows it to happen without the use of the banking system, without the use of American dollars. But there's a lot of questions that come up too, because our God, the God of the Bible, is concerned very much with just weights and measures. And there is a whole list of Bible verses that talk about just weight and measures. There's Proverbs 11:1. It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 16:11, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. So when we have an issue like this, with, let's say, our current banking system, the Federal Reserve, we don't have any actual money. We have something that is on loan from the government telling us essentially that what we have, that dollar in our hand, is actually worth a dollar. But there is no just weight and measure to determine if that is true. The money we're spending is fiat currency. It's not real currency. There are people telling us that it's worth a dollar, and we go, okay, it's worth a dollar. Because our gold, our dollars are not backed by gold. Our dollars are not backed by any just standard. So that, you know, raises a question as to whether or not Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies are indeed valid currencies. And so I'm going to say, not right now. That's the answer. Not right now. They are not a valid currency, but the blockchain technology might be able to create something in the future that does rival a more biblical, just standard of money. And so it's exciting. And I never want to be the Christian. I never want to be the Christian that looks at new technology and says, well, that just can't be good. Or it's the end times and these technologies are what's going to, like, you know, lead to the mark of the beast or any of that sort of thing. I want to look at technology as a gift from God and any innovations. And I think blockchain technology is a gift from God. I don't know if the killer app has been found yet, right? So just like the internet, it took a while for people to really see the value of the internet, and it was email. People realized that email was an amazing thing. And even though the internet was around way, way before that, you know, America Online and stuff, but it wasn't really until email that people started to really see the true value of the internet. So I think we're still waiting for that killer app. That's an opportunity for Christians. It's an opportunity for Christians to really investigate blockchain and think, what can I do with this that would be glorifying to God and could change the world? And that way a Christian could be on top of a new technology for once. I think that's a really great opportunity for us out there. But when it comes to whether or not Bitcoin is currency in its current state, we have to ask some questions. One, I do believe that the value of Bitcoin can be properly determined better than the value of fiat currency. So that's something a lot of people would disagree on. I think, you know, Gary North, who, you know, bless his heart, has not been right on technology issues, unfortunately. And he has come out and said that it is a Ponzi scheme. And the reason I don't believe it's a Ponzi scheme is because I believe that the entire foundation of blockchain technology is that it gives just weight measures to a value of something. So whether it's signing a contract and the computers all over the world can actually verify and determine that I signed the contract, or whether it's transferring money, I think blockchain technology is good at that. And so, but when it comes to like something like Bitcoin, there's the one thing that blockchain technology allowed to happen is that it allowed there to be only a very set number of Bitcoin ever made. So what happens is there's computers all over the world and they're just mining Bitcoin. Imagine computers all over the world are just taking a pickaxe to rock. And eventually they find it, they do the right math, and then they find that Bitcoin. And then that allows for new Bitcoin to be created and into the market. So unlike where the government just arbitrarily prints money every year, this Bitcoin can not be made or created. It is only distributed from a limited, finite supply over the period of, I think, maybe the next 20 years or so. And so as the more computers that begin to mine Bitcoin, the higher in value that Bitcoin will be, because its supply will be limited and everything that's on the market will be on the market. And in addition, just like gold or something, people can lose it. People can lose gold. People can have it stolen from them. So once you have Bitcoin, it exists as a number and on math. And so you can lose it. It can be lost. And so I think eventually a lot of Bitcoin will be lost, and that will also add to an increased value. But here's why I don't think that Bitcoin meets the biblical standard of money. Now, this is not to say that blockchain can't create something in the future that meets the biblical standard of money. And I think we're close on some issues, and I'll talk about those as we wrap up. But the reason I don't think that Bitcoin itself, specifically this Bitcoin, is a specific form of blockchain, a specific brand of blockchain, the reason I don't think that Bitcoin itself will ever count as an actual form of money is because money has to have a value outside of itself. So an example of that would be Let's say tomorrow the government just crashed, right? The dollar is worthless, and it's just like Venezuela. The United States dollar is just paper, really. There's no value to that that makes it a legitimate form of money. However, you know, we could go to like a really crude example of like, let's say a chicken. If I were to trade a chicken for some clothing, that chicken at that point in time becomes legitimate currency. And the reason it's legitimate currency is because that chicken has a value outside of the transaction. So gold, for example, has a value in that it can be used for jewelry, or it can be used for art, or weaponry, or electronics, or whatever. Gold has a value because it is gold. And so a chicken has a value outside of being a chicken. You can use its feathers, you can use it to lay eggs, and then you can sell those eggs, or you can just use it for food. So there's a lot of different things that allows a chicken to be a legitimate form of currency, whereas a dollar bill is not. Dollar bill is, we're told that it's a dollar, you take it and it's a dollar. That's pretty much it. So with Bitcoin, the problem with Bitcoin is it doesn't have any tangible value outside of itself. If tomorrow everybody said that Bitcoin you're holding is not worth anything at all, it's not worth anything at all. There's nothing you can do to gain that value back. So one of the important aspects of such having a just weight measure, having a currency, is having something that has value outside of itself. So when it comes to cryptocurrency in its current state, there's not really a lot there that meets those standards, but I think the technology is promising. So if you take like something like Ethereum, for example, now Ethereum is essentially the whole blockchain of Ethereum is used not just to create a currency per se, but it's also used to create an entire network. So this network that Ethereum runs on allows essentially for a new internet, an internet that is not composed of Amazon and Google and, you know, Verizon and their servers. And so that's exciting to think about, that you will have a completely ungoverned autonomous internet, that Ethereum, that's the real basic idea of Ethereum right now. And that's exciting. And that adds value outside of just being currency, in that the computers are required to keep the Ethereum network running. So the value is on the computer itself more than the blockchain, I told you guys I'm sick. The currency, the blockchain currency. And so there's a lot of applications. There's one cryptocurrency I invested in. It was called Power. And the reason that was exciting to me is because what it allowed people to do is it allowed people, let's say you put solar panels on your house. Now, currently in the state of California, in the statist state, in the Soviet state of California, I know a guy who has solar panels, and he has to give all his excess electricity back to the power company, which he was trying to get away from. The power company has come out there and improved that the solar panels are valid, and then the power company has to then give you permission to use them in California. You can't just put solar panels up, turn them on, and power your house. No. That would break a lot of crony laws. However, with the Power cryptocurrency, what it allows you to do is if you have excess power, you can use cryptocurrency to actually transfer that power to individuals. And I don't know how that works. I'm not that tech-oriented to figure out how you can take electricity and transfer it via the blockchain technology. But even in that instance, it's using blockchain technology to actually transfer something of actual legitimate value. And Christians, we should be excited about these technologies. We should be excited about the idea of an internet that isn't isolated on servers somewhere where the government can come and restrict it. We should be excited about the idea of being able to create just weights and measures that cannot be hacked, that cannot be disrupted by governments, or the value of something cannot be changed based on what individuals say, but its inherent value. I think that's really promising, and it's not something we should turn down just because we don't understand it or because we think that in its current state it doesn't work according to scripture. I think we should look at these technologies and say, okay, God's given us this technology. How can we use it to further the kingdom? And that's what we should do. We should look at these things and determine how they're good, how they can be good, and how they can change the world and bring the world under the reign and rule of Christ. So, anyway, like I said, it was a shorter episode of Law and Prophets today. I know it's not what you guys were expecting, and I promised Kavanaugh, and I'm going to deliver an episode on Kavanaugh, and I want you guys to be excited about it, but I just want to be 100%, and I wanted to give you guys something anyway. So anyway, that's an episode on cryptocurrency. Thank you guys once again for watching Law and Prophets. I really appreciate everything, and make sure you sign up for the Cross Politic Network. Go to crosspolitic.com. They just added four digital PDF books you can get when you become a member of the Cross Politic Network. Be sure to go and check those guys out and listen to other podcasts on the network too, like How to Build a Tent and Westminster Confession of Funk, and of course, the one and only Cross Politic. Be sure to check those out, guys. Thanks again for all your comments about the show. Thanks again for everybody telling me I've had some great comments over the past few weeks from people who said that they never even thought that the Bible touched on the subjects that we talk about here, and it's opened up their eyes to the idea that the Bible really is sufficient for all areas of faith and practice, and it really does help us out in everything, and Christ is King of all. So anyway, thanks again, guys. Thanks for listening, and be sure to share this episode and tell people things about it. Anyways, I guess I'm sick.